Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio as we reach around the world. Hello to our listeners in Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, England, and all across North America. It's great to have you here tonight. We've got a fantastic show planned. And, of course, manning the controls, our technical producer, Melissa Hovey, and, of course, Wayne Larson, making sure that we stay on the air tonight. On the magic of Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, as always, taking care of the Wild World news from his massive studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. How's everything at the Batson Wildlife Preserve?
Well, I would like to say tonight it is absolutely fantastic because we have, as a guest, one of my musical heroes for many, many years. In fact, Dr. Day, I have to tell you, now this is kind of cheesy, but this is what I was listening to as I was preparing for our broadcast tonight.
Is that live?
That's live.
See, I knew you were excited tonight.
Oh, man.
We've been talking about it.
I want to tell you, that's the voice of Kazem Sultan, bass player for the most, I don't know how to put this, they did not have enough fans, Utopia. And that is from the live album. In fact, I have to tell everyone something. The other day, I was in the the Baboon Building. Of course, we have this massive stereo system for the monkeys, and I put in the album Redux 92 Live in Japan with Utopia. And for all of my listeners, please go out and get that album because it's absolutely fantastic. And there's a particular track on that album called The Icon, which is unbelievable musically. But when Kazem Sultan rips off that bass solo in that particular cut, I mean, I don't want to hear no Chris Squire.
Now, wait a second. You said you put it on for the monkeys?
Yes, we did, Chasm. And myself.
Well, if the monkeys like it, then it's got my stamp of approval.
But I'll tell you that that bass solo is just like, whoa. So it was unbelievable. So
thanks.
You're welcome. But it's great to have him on the show. And, of course, as always, Dr. Henry Day, manning the Wild World News. What you got for us tonight, Doctor?
Well, let's get on with it because I'm excited tonight, too.
Oh, we are.
All right, well, let's start out in Kansas City, Missouri. A 300-pound ape escaped from a Kansas City home Tuesday and roamed the neighborhood. Police spokesman Captain Rich Lockhart said that the ape broke out the passenger side window of a patrol car, but didn't do any other damage in the neighborhood. They used a tranquilizer dart on him to subdue him, but it didn't faze him at all. And they were finally able to coax him into the cage in the back of the owner's vehicle.
Well, you know, we had us on the show, our good friend chimpanzee trainer Michael Biggs, and
he talked
about the chimpanzee that he had rescued and raised, and the story that was most I got the most out of was one day they were loading up the trailers preparing to transport some animals to another state, and the chimpanzee was helping him load up the trailers with sawdust and hay and that sort of thing. So the chimpanzee knew where the refrigerator was with all the soft drinks. So it goes up into the trailer and it gets one of the soft drinks out, and one of my friend's buddies who was helping him load the trailer goes up into the trailer. And here's this chimpanzee. His name was Sinbad. He's 8 or 9 years old. And the guy says to Sinbad, he says, "Sinbad, are you supposed to have that?" That chimp turned around, looked at him, slammed that soda pop can down on the table, followed him out of the trailer, and then picked up a 2x4, and that chimpanzee nearly beat that guy to death.
Jeez.
So yeah, that's what that's all about.
Yeah, and that's the same chimp that drove the lawnmower down to the local store. And
oh, yeah. He'd drive it around Russellville, a little town here. In fact, Mike had even trained it to mow the grass. He just had to mow the perimeter, and then chimp knew the boundaries, and he'd mow the rest, and he said he did a better job than he did.
Now, wait a second. What kind of person keeps a 300-pound gorilla in their house?
Well, Chasm, you would be surprised because he was actually, to tell you the complete story is that he rescued this chimp. A lady had it in her basement, and this was in the late 70s, and one day the chimp attacked her and basically crippled her. So
yeah.
They were going to euthanize the chimp. So Mike at that time was a sheriff, but he's also a fantastic animal trainer. He said, no, wait a minute, let me get over there. So he gets over there, and of course the basement's full of all these cops and whatnot. He says he runs everybody out. And he walks into the enclosure with his chimp. Now, the chimp's like 8 or 9 years old. It's big enough to dismember you. But Mike carried a coal shovel in with him. And that chimp eyed him for a couple of minutes. Here he came. Well, Mike come down with that coal shovel, hit him in the head. He thought he killed him. Oh, no, he just knocked him out. When that chimpanzee came back to, basically they walked out of the house hand in hand. He got in a patrol car with Mike and rode in the passenger seat, and he took him home, and he had him for years. He rode the motorcycle with him around town. If it was going under 30 miles an hour, he'd start beating on the tank.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. That was old Sinbad.
That's great.
Well, what happened years later, he went to the Pittsburgh Zoo and basically bit a kneecap off of a zookeeper. So that's the sad end of that story, but anyway. Okay, Dr. Day.
All right, let's get on with this news. Well, damn those beavers in Charleston, South Carolina. The beaver population, which was hunted nearly to extinction in the early 1900s, has recovered to the point where the Department of Natural Resources is getting a steady stream of complaints about beaver dams. A one-foot-high beaver mud dam can flood as much as 1,000 acres, and the Dorchester County has already removed 200 beaver dams this year.
Well,
beavers.
They have a job to do, you know. There's a long
That's
story
right.
about a fellow that was being sued because the beavers dug a dam, and I'll have to dig that up, and we'll talk about it in another program. But beavers can be a problem. But my feelings about it, the beaver was here first. So.
And even though they do flood a lot of property, it creates new lakes and new habitats, and
all right,
you know.
If you want to go
All
fishing
right, well,
out west, you just look for the beaver pond. That's where the fish are at. Okay.
Let's run off to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The Great Plains Zoo has announced a rare birth of a black rhino. The zoo's 13-year-old black rhino, Emera, recently gave birth to her second calf, a male weighing 92 pounds. Black rhinos native to Africa are the most endangered of the 5 rhino species, which there are fewer than 4,000 of them in the world.
That's pretty cool. You know, the zoos do a tremendous duty when they do this, and they learn a lot about the breeding habits of animals, and obviously, black rhino's in trouble. We're going to the National Conservation Training Center, and they have in their archives things that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service have confiscated. And I'll tell you, it's sickening to see the things that have been made out of rhino horns and elephant tusk. It's just absolutely, yeah, so that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right, Juneau, Alaska. The Juneau International Airport says it has received a permit from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to move eagle nests from their grounds there. They might have to wait until an environmental impact study is done, but the officials fear that the eagles are at risk because they're so close to the airport, and as soon as the eagles are moved, the airport board members want the eagles tracked so they can see what type of impact they've had on them after they move them.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that works out. You can't mess with Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
San Juan, Puerto Rico, U.S. territory. Crocodiles are making themselves at home and pose a potential threat to humans, researchers say. There has been hundreds of sightings, but no reported attacks on humans. And they believe that the reptiles are descendants of pets that were brought there in the 1960s.
Really? You know, that's happened quite a bit. You know, with the pythons loose in the Everglades and...
Everywhere.
Yeah.
You just can't turn stuff loose.
No, they thrive.
All right, Medford, Oregon. The delay in the wine grape harvest caused by a wet spring and mild summer has given birds and animals a chance to plunder the vineyards in the Rue Valley. Starlings and cowbirds have picked away at the grapes, while trail cameras have recorded black bears rummaging through the vineyards.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Can you imagine drunk black bears or brown bears or grizzly bears?
It's not a fun thing, I'll tell you. I've dealt with drunken bears before, and it's not a fun thing. They're like a person that gets a little bit inebriated. They have all of a sudden amazing athletic skills.
Same as me.
Yeah, same as you, Doctor.
All right, Boise, Idaho. Officials told the U.S. Department of the Interior that the state will no longer manage wolves under the Federal Endangered Species Act. The act will no longer act as the government's designated agent. A federal judge in Montana returned the wolf to the Endangered Species Act earlier this year.
All right, let me tell you a little bit about Idaho. In fact, there is a Facebook page on this. To not buy anything... Idaho potatoes, they're slaughtering wolves in Idaho. I mean, it's disgraceful what's going on there. So if anybody that follows the Facebook, there is a page. Or you can go to my page, Larry Batson. I follow that. I'm a friend of it, so you can discover. But, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. You know, it was kind of funny. Years ago, I wrote an article about the importance of the wolf and, you know, how wouldn't it be fantastic if it was reintroduced into our state? My God, I might as well have said Hitler was a good guy. The feedback I got from that, and then I had a good friend in British Columbia I called. I said, do you have wolves there, of course? He says, yeah. What do the ranchers think? He said, well, they lose more livestock to lightning and weather than wolves, so...
Right.
People don't realize that wolves are really, they don't prey on large animals, they prey on small animals. Watch the film, Never Cry Wolf.
Well, the last time I was at the Batson Wildlife Preserve, you've got two of the biggest wolves I've ever seen. You know what? They are pretty damn nice.
There they are. They are. They are. Yep. We love them.
All right, well, let's get on with this so we can get Chasm on here tonight. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, two Asian elephants sent to Tulsa as part of a breeding effort have returned to the Oklahoma City Zoo, one pregnant. Sister Asha and Chandra returned there and are in a big habitat that they built for them after they left in 2008 as part of a natural breeding plan.
Fantastic.
Traveling elephants.
That's right.
Okay, you were wondering if the fish are biting in Key West?
Well, are they?
They are. Oh, yeah, a woman is hospitalized after being bitten in the chest by a barracuda while kayaking.
Oh, my Lord.
The Coast Guard said the woman, 45, and a man were kayaking near a Big Pine Key when the fish jumped into the kayak and bit her. She suffered a punctured lung and broken ribs.
What's the chances of that happening? It's like the crocodile hunter getting speared by a stingray.
I've dove all over Florida. And you cannot dive anywhere in Florida without barracuda being there. They're just everywhere.
Yeah.
I never really worried about them, but I can't imagine one doing that much damage.
Yeah, well, don't fool with Mother Nature.
All right. Well, okay. I got a couple more stories, but we're running a little long tonight. Two things I want to tell you before we end the news here. There's a full moon tonight.
Yes.
There's also... On a full moon, there are more animal bites than any other time of the month. So if you have an animal that's acting a little strange, it's full moon, just leave them alone.
Yeah, stay away from the children, too.
Yeah,
thank you, Ken Day.
Exactly.
Dr. Henry Day. Go ahead.
One more thing. Let's There are meteor showers tonight. Pre-dawn, they'll be radiating from the south approximately 15 an hour.
Fantastic.
The full moon is going to hamper that a little bit. But meteor showers tonight and tomorrow night. Also, the last thing, remember, a duck's quack does an echo.
Dr. Henry Day's Wild World News is brought to you by Jet Kaiser Films. If you're interested in doing a documentary, Jet Kaiser's the guy, jetkaiser.com. Our program tonight is underwritten by several folks. We thank every one of them. We Want You Cottages way up in western New York. Here's their website, www.wewantyou.com. McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful scenic God's Country, Estes Park, Colorado, right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. You ever been to Rocky Mountain National Park, Chasm?
Nope. Can't say I have.
You need to go there.
Someday. Okay, I'll put that on the list.
Put that on your list. Info at McGregorMountainLodge.com or call that 800 number, 1-800-835-8439. Also, a big thank you to Harrison College. They have a fantastic veterinary and technical school. Here's their website, www.harrison.edu, or their number, 1-888-544-4422. Thank you to Harrison College. And also a big thank you to Santee Cooper Country down in beautiful South Carolina. Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes. Folks, they cover 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline. Known for world-class fishing, they hold 7 state records and 1 world record. Here's that website, www.santeecoopercountry.org. Or call the girls. They'll give you guides and motels and arrange your fishing trip. It'll be absolutely fantastic. That number is 1-800-227-8510. An honorary underwriter just for tonight's program, Archer K Bass, V2K, Sultan Signature Series, Black Electric Bass Guitar, the one Chasm Sultan plays. So, and also the chasmstore.com, and we thank them tonight for being our honorary underwriter. We have with us tonight, folks, this is quite an honor for myself, a gentleman that has, to the industry, he's basically a music legend. He's played on over 100 albums, including the classic Bat Out of Hell, Meatloaf. He's the musical director for Meatloaf when he's on tour. We know him from the fantastic band Utopia and also playing with Todd Rundgren. That's right. All the way from New York City, Chasm Sultan. Good evening, Chasm.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, gosh, what an honor. We saw you. Gosh, I can't believe it. It's been about a month ago at the Clues Hall here in Indianapolis, and you were touring with Todd Rundgren, performing, well, gosh, what a feat, 2 albums, is the Todd album, which is the first Todd Rundgren album I ever owned, and also the album Healing. Now, my question for you, you only played 5 shows. Was that, I mean, with all the rehearsal involved and everything, did you want to do more?
Well, sure. I mean, you always want to do more than 5 shows on a tour. But it's not up to us, really. It was
right.
It was a question of it was a real special event, and it was promoted by a couple of people who run a radio station, Rungan Radio, Doug Ford and Melanie Kane, and they're starting to do this like yearly thing where they right around Labor Day they asked Todd to do one of his records, and then he puts it together, and they throw together a tour of 4 to 5, you know, sometimes maybe 6 shows. And we go out and do them. So it's this is the 2nd year in a row that we've done the Labor Day thing. So actually the 3rd year, the 1st year I think did they do it in Hawaii? I'm not sure, but this is the 2nd year that I've been involved in it.
So what was involved getting ready? Because especially the Todd album, I mean, that's somewhat complex. What did you do before you got together with all the musicians? I know Greg and Bobby and Prairie Prince and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, basically what everybody does is they just, they get a copy of the record, sometimes they Todd has master tapes that he takes stuff off of and says, okay, well, this is the this is what the drums and the bass played, and this is what the background vocals are doing, and this is what the guitar parts are, and this is what the keyboard parts are. So if he has master tapes of the particular songs, everybody gets to listen to what the original tracks were. But for the most part, you just get the record, and then you kind of woodshed it for a month on your off time, and get, you know, come into rehearsal as prepared as you possibly can be, so that, because we only really get 4 or 5 days of rehearsals on these tours, and we get together, and then everybody is expected to know what they're doing, and you know, it's like we're a bunch of monkeys, you know. So you pay peanuts and you get monkeys.
When you were preparing for it, did it remind you of what? Because every musician I've ever known, basically, they spend a lot of time in their bedroom listening to albums and trying to figure out every guitar riff and part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's basically what you did with the Todd album.
Well, you know, I mean, I hate doing stuff like that. It really is like, it's kind of like it's really tedious. But yeah, you're right. It absolutely is exactly like it was when I first started playing, when I would you know, break out a Led Zeppelin record and listen to, you know, the bass part or the guitar part and try to cop it exactly as it was, you know, you know, just going over it ad infinitum, over and over and over and over again, to try to get it right. And it is like that in a way. The only difference is that I know most of these songs, or I knew most of these songs already, so I had a little bit of a jump on what I needed to do.
So what was your first band that basically got you interested in, hey, I want to play music?
What got me interested?
Mm-hmm.
Geez, I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. That was it.
Yep, that was it.
That's all she wrote. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that's most people my age, or maybe just a little bit older than me, would say the same thing, that, you know, there was that whole British invasion in the early 60s that, you know, kind of spurred me on to getting a guitar and you know, stopping going to school and everything else and just concentrating on being a musician.
It was, you know, it's unbelievable how many musicians they inspired. Because I can even remember Crosby, Stills, and Nash saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it really changed the scope of music. It changed the face of the music industry for sure. And all of a sudden, it was like, hey, you know, I can pick up a guitar and with a couple of my buddies and start making some music, and maybe one day I'll become famous, and, you know, and people will love me and want to you know, get a lock of my hair and a piece of my pillow, whatever.
You know, the 4 Ed Sullivan shows that they were on, they now have them complete on DVD.
Really?
Yes. In fact, I saw them yesterday when I was at Walmart buying Tiger food.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, so I did.
Yeah, well, you can see, I mean, you could see any of those performances on YouTube, but it would be nice to own a DVD of it.
But yes, absolutely.
I'm actually, most recently, I've really gotten into sort of the outtake stuff that floats around. You know, you can, if you do enough searching, you can find, like, you know, takes 1 through 39 of I'm a Loser or something like that. So So I love listening to that stuff, and 'cause you get a chance to see how they develop a song, and how, you know, they're trying different things. Maybe they, you know, they start with a chorus, and then what they wind up with is not the chorus and at the top of the song, but another, a different intro, and it's just a real insight as to how they developed a song and how they developed their albums and their craft.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a lot of those, and after the show, I'll give you a jingle. I'll fix you up.
Oh, cool.
Because what was amazing about that era was that people don't realize that the Abbey Road Studios in the 80s, when the Beatles were not cool, supposedly, that employees would basically take the tapes home. And because
I would imagine that's where they came from. That's where all those tapes came from.
And because of the lax laws in Europe as far as copyrights are concerned, that they were, you know, they manufactured it in CDs. I'll get with you on that.
Oh,
so
cool.
What was your first band?
I guess I was in like the eighth grade. I was just in just at the end of junior high school, and myself and a bunch of guys from my neighborhood put together a band, and it was called Apple Pie. But the cool thing was that our logo was the word apple and then the mathematical sign for pie.
Oh, really?
So yeah. And funny enough, the drummer in the band, we had two drummers, and one of the drummers in the band was my good friend Tommy Price, who to this day, he plays with Joan Jett. He's in Joan Jett's band, and we used to play with Billy Idol and Mink DeVille and Patti Smyth, and he's been all over the place. We grew up together in Oakwood Heights on Staten Island, and Tommy went off to become a pretty famous drummer, I wound up becoming a, you know,
pretty
a
darn
guy.
Good, pretty darn good
bass player.
Absolutely. I have a question for you. In fact, I was going to bring this up. Playing with drummers, how many times have you wanted to throw half their cymbals away?
Oh, geez. I remember there was one guy. We used to do this... we used to do a Who medley, and I'll never forget this one kid who was playing drums at the time. His name is Tommy Simonelli, and he was a Keith Moon fanatic.
Yeah.
And so we would do this song, and I forget what song it was, but there was a drum solo in the song. That's the only thing I remember, was a drum solo. And this guy would go on for 15, 20 minutes where we would be in the basement rehearsing. We would all take off our guitars and leave, go outside and have sandwiches while he was doing his drum solo. And we were at a gig once, and I just got so tired of him crashing cymbals that every time he'd go to crash a cymbal, I'd hold it. And I think we wound up in a fist fight because I kind of screwed his solo up. And he didn't appreciate that. So, but yeah, I don't like cymbals.
You know, I think one of the best bass guitar and drum combination was you and Willie. Wilcox,
yeah,
Utopian.
You know, it's funny. I just on my Facebook page, somebody posted a video of Utopia doing a song called Rock Love, and it was just that, you know, it was Todd was singing lead on it, and it was a it was just the three of us, me, Willie, and Roger playing. Playing guitar, I was playing lead guitar. Roger played keyboards, and Willie's on the drums. And man, we were really good.
I'll bet.
We were really good.
Yes, you were. We've spoken earlier. I had an opportunity. The wife and I went and saw you at IU Auditorium with Utopia.
Uh-huh.
And of course, our wedding song, the song that we, I don't know, was Made It. because that's just a beautiful song.
Uh-huh.
And when we saw the show, they'd done something with they had the disco lights, you know, that went around. And the guy that was operating it, he had a perfect rhythm with the song. And it was just, it was awesome. It was, you probably.
Oh, cool. Well, that's great.
Yeah, it was absolutely awesome. Our guest tonight, Kazem Sultan, and we've got a surprise for everyone. Right after our break, Kazem has agreed to do a live performance on our show, so we really appreciate that, Kazem.
Well, you know, I have a problem saying no.
He does, and people. I put him on the spot, and
put me on the spot. Yeah.
I apologize for that.
That's
but
okay.
We'll be back.
You owe me.
I do owe you. I'll Beatle CDs. That's how I'll make it up. We'll be back in just a few moments. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
We're Rascal Flatts. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Batson. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, go to our friends and register as a friend. We'll know who our listeners are. We've got a fantastic guest tonight, Kazem Sultan. He's going to do a live performance for us. We feel so honored. We want to tell everyone that our underwriters tonight are Harrison College. They have a fantastic veterinarian technician school. So here's that website. It's www.harrison.edu. Their number, toll-free, 1-888-544-4422. Also, a big thank you to Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina. Lake Marion, Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes, they cover 171,000 acres. You ever go fishing, Kazem?
Yeah, I do.
Well, yep. You need to go down to South Carolina in the winter.
I'm sure it's great.
Well, they put you on a
I have a buddy who fly fishes.
Oh, really?
I'm dying for him to take me fly fishing.
Well, they put you on a boat. You have like 8 poles in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you, they say, now when your pole shakes, they use the word violently. That's mm-hmm. when you grab it and you pull. And I'm telling you right now, you'll catch anywhere from 20 to 100-pound catfish.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But since South Carolina... That,
100-pound catfish?
100-pound. They've got the state record. I think that fish was 182, 183 pounds.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like a person.
It's beyond cool. It's beautiful, and the lake looks like an ocean. It's so big. 450 miles of shoreline. Here's their website, www.santeecoopercountry.org. Or call the girls. They'll set up your whole trip at 1-800-227-8510. Also, a big thank you to We Want You Cottages way up in western New York. They have a fantastic website called iKids Fishing, where youngsters can download their photo of the big whopper they caught and compare it to youngsters, anglers all across North America. That's www.wewantyou.com. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge in scenic, beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, God's country. info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. Also, a big thank you to Scobie Custom Meats right here in the suburbs of Greencastle, Indiana. They help feed all of our big kitty cats, and we really appreciate that. Also, check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, also our wildlife educational programs. Lots of photos of animals from past and present, and that's at LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Also, honorary underwriter tonight, Archer K Bass V2K Sultan Signature Series Black Electric Bass Guitar. That's
excellent.
One, please. It's a good one, isn't it, Kevin?
Yep. And you know what? It really is a good guitar.
Yeah.
And it's very affordable.
Now, just to give our audience an idea, what's the price range?
You can pick one up for under $500.
Really?
Yep.
That's cheaper than a Fender Jazz.
Yeah, and it's a great bass. It really, really is. You get a lot of bang for your buck. And I use an off-the-shelf stock one. I use that all the time when I play with Todd and Meatloaf and everybody else I play with, and I swear by it. I wouldn't be hawking it with my name on it if I didn't use it.
Well,
you know, and I sound like Suzanne Summers, don't I?
Well, I've heard that bass guitar controlled by Chasm Sultan. It sounds fantastic. So you're half as good, you'll be absolutely amazed. Also, chasmstore.com has all the T-shirts and DVDs and CDs and everything Chasm. And that's chasmstore.com. So go ahead.
No, I didn't say anything.
Okay. So you've toured with Meatloaf. And you're a musical director, and also you played on.
Well,
the
I no longer work with that particular band anymore. I outlived my time there.
Have I hit a sore spot?
No, not at all. There are certain bands that I've been in that have really been a pleasure and a lot of fun and great musicians to work with, and I unfortunately that wasn't one of them.
Really?
It was a difficult thing. There was a lot of everybody thought they were that they were the big star in the band, and then you have the big star himself, who, you know, he used to be able to sing really good, but over the years he's kind of he doesn't have the power, and he doesn't have the range that he had when he first started singing, and he made everybody's life miserable because he wasn't happy with his performances. So whatever, you know, it was an interesting thing to be involved in when it was successful, when the Bat Out of Hell 2 came out, and the record was shot to number one. It was the single Anything for Love was number one for 11 weeks in the United States, and that's all because of the songwriting, and that's Jim Steinman, you know. So then after that the records that followed that one were just dismal failures, and there was always trying to recapture the success that he had with Bat Out of Hell 1 and Bat Out of Hell 2 that he just never got back. And even his latest record, which kind of came and went, wasn't really a great record, but he's out touring behind it, and I'm sure it's a fun show, and anybody that goes to see him will definitely get their money's worth. But for me, it was time for me to go, so I said goodbye earlier this year.
Well, the songs were always so dramatic. I mean, you basically got.
You know, it was all
out.
About the songs. It was all about the songs. It was the songs that made that's what people go to see. They don't necessarily go to see the band or to, you know, to see him. They go to hear those songs, you know. And so it's really a testament to Jim Steinman that those songs have remained popular over 35 years, you know. And kids today still go to see that show because of the songs.
Hey guys, I hate to jump in and interrupt this conversation, Anything for Love was one of my favorite songs of all time. But we do have a caller on the line from the 434 area code, so we might want to see if this person has a question.
All right.
I think I know who this is because I looked up the 434 area code. It's Virginia, and if it's Mary, is it Mary?
Mm-mm.
No?
Ma'am, caller, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Go ahead, caller.
That's a
we
ghost.
We frightened them, I guess. We've scared them away.
Okay. I know it's Virginia somewhere. Somewhere in Virginia.
Well, you have lots of fans. I mean, it's unbelievable, the people that follow Todd and all the people involved with the band. In fact, in your solo efforts, I know you have a show coming up here in a couple of days in Joplin, Missouri. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, a friend of mine who's another Todd fan, a guy by the name of Mark Wooten, he's involved in the Animal Rescue Society of Joplin, Missouri, where he lives, and they're doing a benefit for animal rescue, and they asked me if I wanted to perform at their benefit, and I jumped at the chance to do anything to help the animal cause. And so I'll be in Joplin, Missouri on Saturday at a place called the Creamery,
mm-hmm.
Which is an old ice cream factory, I believe. And we'll do a benefit to help animal rescue in the Joplin area.
Oh, that's fantastic. Are you gonna do solo, or are you gonna take the entire band?
No. These shows that I do by myself are strictly strictly solo shows. They're just me and me alone. Sometimes I have another musician or two musicians with me, but this particular one I'll be just doing by myself.
Who's your favorite group of people? Now, I know you toured with Hall & Oates, and my impression, which my wife's one of her favorite bands, that you hear a lot of influences from Todd on the Hall & Oates songs and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, that's a blue-eyed Philly soul. Both Todd and Daryl grew up in the Philly area. And so they both kind of had that, you know, all the Spinners and all that R&B stuff, all that early R&B stuff, that was all, you know, kind of ingrained in them. So it was, you know, it had to rub off on them. And Daryl's a great, you know, really soulful singer, and so is Todd. I guess maybe you might think that there's more of an influence in Hall & Oates from Todd than the opposite, because Todd became popular before Daryl and John did,
mm-hmm.
and Todd produced one of their records. But it wasn't until the 80s that Daryl and John became hugely successful and surpassed Todd's success, you know, in terms of the amount of hits that they've had. And you asked what was my favorite band to play
mm-hmm.
in. And besides Utopia, which, you know, I spent 10 years of my life in Utopia. I mean, I basically grew up in that band from the time I was 20 until I was 30. The only other band that I really, really had the best time in was Hall & Oates, because the musicianship in that band was bar none. I mean, they're just some of the greatest musicians that I've ever worked with were in that Hall & Oates band, like T-Bone Wolk, the bass player, who was also the guitar player, who passed away earlier this year, and a keyboard player by the name of Bobby Mayo, who... Most people would recognize him from the piano solo on Peter Frampton's, Ooh Baby, I Love You Way.
Really?
Yeah, that there's a piano solo in there, that like Rhodes solo or Wurlitzer solo or something like that. That's Bobby Mayo. And he was the keyboard player in Hall & Oates' band when I was in the band in 1989, 90, 91, and 92. And he was just he's probably the greatest all-around musician that I've ever worked with. And unfortunately, he passed away a couple of 3 years ago, too. So, that was just a great time for me. Really, really great time in my life.
I know it's probably happened several times, but, man, has there been a particular instance where you said, man, this job is just way too cool?
You know when that happened? That happened my first year in Utopia when we were playing at a festival in England called the Nebworth Festival.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing in front of roughly 100,000 people. And we were opening for Led Zeppelin.
Wow.
The original Led Zeppelin with John Bonham, and just before, I guess before he passed away. I think that was the last tour they did as a band. And that was I was all of 20 years old, and I had just never been out of New York State before. You know, the furthest I had gotten was the next door neighbors had a house. In the Adirondacks in upstate New York, and they would take me there over the, you know, for a couple of weeks during the summer. That was the furthest I got from New York City, and then when I joined Utopia, the next thing I knew, I was flying to London and opening up for Led Zeppelin. I mean, it's like it was pretty cool.
Oh, it had to be like because you grew up with the records.
Yeah, exactly. And so I guess that's when I said to myself, wow, this keeps getting a real job.
Absolutely. Did you have a chance to talk to them at all? Or?
No. I think they probably just, they flew in on like wings of an angel just before they took the stage. And I was... I think the New Barbarians played that day too, and Hot Tuna, and God, who knows who else played on that? I don't know, I forget. But yeah, I've had some really, really great experiences.
Do you ever think about that when you have bands open for you that you might be a little nicer to them or talk to them or anything, or just do the same thing?
No, listen, I have the utmost respect for anybody who gets on a stage. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. You could be playing kazoo and picking your nose.
Yeah.
If you're opening for me, I'm treating you good.
Well, that's I kind of figured that's what you would say.
You don't ever want to treat somebody other than the way you would want to be treated.
Right.
You know, because that stuff always comes back.
Well, I will say, though...
Always comes back around.
The opening act that I had a chance to see when you were in Indianapolis...
Hello?
With the Todd show...
Did I lose you?
No, we're still
here. Hold on a minute.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Okay.
We've got... Yeah, sorry, guys. Blog Talk had a little bit of a hiccup here.
Okay.
But everything is okay, and we're still live, so go ahead.
Fantastic. The Fix opened for you guys on a couple of dates for the Todd and Healing Show, and I felt so bad because I sat in the audience. I was like middle in the eighth row, and I said to the guy sitting next to me, I only remembered one hit the Fix had had.
Yeah.
And then they played their set, and I felt like such a dummy.
They had a couple. Yeah.
And I said, and then I had to lean and said, man, I said, I feel so uncool.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I've known Cy for a long time. I've known him since the early 80s, and he is just the sweetest guy in the whole world. He is a great, great guy.
I thought, though, the most, charismatic was the bass player who basically did not move, and it was just...
It was beyond cool.
Yeah, I remember watching them. And you, do you know the drummer? The drummer in the band, who they were all the original musicians too. They were all the I think except for the guitar player, they were all original guys.
Uh-huh.
And the drummer makes bicycles in England, in London, or outside of London. He hand makes bicycles.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you. Well, whatever it takes to get the bills paid.
Yeah, well, I think he does really good, actually.
I think
he, like, you know, it's like, you know, really high-end bicycles.
Well, have you ever watched the show The American Pickers?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I saw it not too long ago, and they were visiting somebody. I think it might have been in Indianapolis, or was it in Ohio? This guy who had a warehouse full of stuff that was like every single corner of this three-story warehouse was filled with crap, you know. But it was all like great crap.
Yeah, it was like worth a lot of money. And they'll offer them money for the stuff. I'm going, oh, that's too much, you know. But apparently they do well. Hey,
yeah,
they have a television show.
I like that show. That's a good show. Yeah.
Kazem, you know, I put you on the spot a little earlier, and you said that you would be more than happy. No, you didn't. You would give us something, your new stuff. I know you've got your new project you're working on and so forth. And you said you had a guitar sitting there in your office, so.
Well, this is my office / recording studio, so I better have a guitar around here. Yeah, sure. Let me put you on speaker, okay?
Okay.
All right, hold on.
This is going to be very exciting, everybody. Performance for Larry Beth.
Okay, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to try and make it a little bit louder. Hello.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Can you hear that?
Yes, we can.
Sounds good.
All right, so this is a song for my new record. And I'm doing this great thing on my record. I am soliciting the fans to send in pictures of themselves, so I can put them, I can put it on the cover of my CD. So anybody who wants to be on my album cover can go to kazemsultan.com, and there's a link there to bring you, that'll bring you to a place called kazemsultan.com/theproject. And you will. There's a little video of me that explains exactly what I'm doing. Anyway, for a few bucks, you get your picture on my record cover. You get a CD, you get a poster, and you get entered into a contest to have me come and play at your house for nothing.
Wow. That's cool.
So let me do this song for you, and then I can fulfill my part of the bargain. Okay.
Drive through the thunder, I drive
all you get.
That's fantastic. Chasm Salton, everybody. Wow.
That's totally off the cuff. Yeah.
Man. Wow. Great. What great material. What great material.
Okay, Larry and Chasm, I have a question for you guys from the chat room.
Okay.
Person would like to know, what is Chasm working on in his solo career?
Well, I think I just explained that. I'm working on a new record, and I've only just started recording some stuff, and I'm hoping that I'll be done by probably just after the beginning of the year, and I'm looking for people to come and put their picture on my record. And you got to go to chasmsalton.com/the-project, and you can get your picture on the cover of my next CD.
Are you going to be taking this song on tour? Or?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. As I finish songs, I'll be doing them at my solo shows. I have the solo show on Saturday in Joplin, and then the following weekend, October 30th, at Maxwell's in Hoboken. And then December 4th in Bordentown, New Jersey at the Record Collector. And then on my birthday, I'm doing a very, very special show on my birthday in Chicago on December 8th. I'm playing at the Abbey Pub in Chicago. And then I'm going to be doing something really, really special between Christmas and New Year's. And that'll be an announcement that I'll make. I don't want to say anything right this second.
That'll be on your website, I assume.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Fantastic. You know, a long time ago, someone told me, he says, never meet your heroes, because if you meet them, you'll be greatly disappointed.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you tonight, Chasm, that has not happened. You've been an absolute delight to have on the program. I mean, what an amazing show. And for you to be willing to sing, I mean, it brought tears to my eyes.
Oh, gee. Well, I'll tell you what, you can return the favor by the next time I'm in Indianapolis, you can introduce me to one of your tigers.
Well, you have an open invitation, and I'll tell you what, that would be an absolute pleasure, because I know in the industry, Chasm Salton, not enough people. You need, folks, let me tell you something. Go back and find the Utopia albums, listen to them. Of course, go to his site. Pick up the new CDs and DVDs Chasm has available. Got a fantastic site, by the way, Chasm.
Oh, thank you.
It's just great. And he's, without a doubt, one of the most superb musicians. And I think what I enjoy so much when we see you guys play is you can tell you absolutely love your job.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm happy that I can do what I do. And you know, I'm blessed. You know, I'm really blessed.
Well, it shows, and I want to have an open invitation. We want to keep up to date with what's going on in your career. So
I'll make sure that you know.
And I'd like to invite you back on the program a little later. And
are we done?
No, we're not. We've got a couple.
No,
minutes
he
there.
Should still be on.
Yeah, we're
I'm,
not.
I'm here.
And.
Yeah, it appears that Blog Talk is having a couple issues tonight.
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine.
Oh, I hear him.
Yeah.
Larry, are you still with?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Can you still hear me?
Larry, I got to tell you, before we get cut off, thank you so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, you don't know how much I've been keyed up for this program since you said that you were willing to come on. And what a nice lady, Carrie Knife, who's your assistant, to put this thing together. She was so helpful, and I was so thrilled. And you have an open invitation to our animal compound, and, man, it'd be great to meet you in person. I'm sure we will, because I imagine Mr. Rundgren will be going out running around, and he cannot include Chasm Salton.
Yeah, well, you know, if he does, I'll just stalk him. I'll just make sure I'm at the shows, and, you know, just I'll make him feel really uncomfortable. I've done it before. I can do it again.
Oh, you did? Is that a whole new chapter?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's for the next show.
Oh, okay, very good. And I'll tell you, for my rock and roll friends, go to, I know it's out there somewhere, but the song Hammer in My Heart the most fantastic rock song ever recorded.
That's a good one. That's a good choice.
Yeah, with lots of cowbell.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I always heard the funny story about when Mountain went on tour, Corky Laing forgot to take the cowbell.
Uh-huh.
Of course, their song that they're most well known for is Mississippi Queen.
Yeah.
And he didn't take a cowbell with him on tour.
What did he use?
I think they had to buy one.
I'll have to talk to Corky about that next time I see him. He's a good
guy. Yeah, you know musicians. That's how they are.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank Chasm Soul. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'd like to thank all of our listeners, Dr. Henry Day for the Wild World News. And of course,
great show, gentlemen.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Thanks.
Melissa and Wayne. And I'll give you a jingle about those CDs.
All right, you got it, buddy.
We'd like to thank everybody. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World. Oh, next week I should mention this. Doug Seuss, trainer of Bart the Bear, is going to be on. And that should also be a fantastic show. And you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Larry, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chasm.
All right, man, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Everybody's gone.
It did that in an hour?
Yeah. It just refreshed again. I even tried to play the closer. And look, please try to play your audio again once you call in. It kicked all of us out. All of us. Holy,
whoa.
What did they do to this thing? Yeesh. Damn. That's never done that before.
Mm-mm.
It refreshed and we were all gone. Everybody. Damn, man. Well, Larry will probably call one.
He'll probably call Chasm first. I'm going to start telling Larry. He wants us to keep doing this for him. He's got to start getting us autographs from these people.
Well, so many shows, Larry may want to consider running a little longer.
Yeah, because that's a little scary. I mean, if that's what they're going to start doing.
Yeah, especially that.
I don't know what that was about, but there was problems all night.
I've never done that before.
No, it's been doing strange shit all night.
Yeah, it rebooted twice, and the only one it cut out was Larry both times. Both times it refreshed, it cut Larry out. But I noticed it cut some of the people in the chat out because they were refreshing.
Oh.
Because, you know, everybody had the snooze thing. There was nobody talking.
Right.
That was strange.
Hello? Hello?